You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
I sit here in my little booth day by day, and sometimes people come to visit me, and I really kind of like that, to have people in the studio. And this person is waving at me right now. It's my friend Libby Znaimer. Hi, Libby.
Hi, Dale. How are you?
Well, I'm just fine. I want to talk to you about the upcoming ordeal.
That
we are both participating in, and get a few extra tips,
Dale,
and to talk about the important work that we're doing.
But may I say, Dale, that is a bad attitude. It's not an ordeal. It's a challenge and a wonderful experience.
Well, I mean, Mary a few minutes ago was suggesting to me that, you know, there'll be shuttles in case I cack out at the 12-kilometer mark or
just
something.
Just in case anybody needs a shuttle.
We're talking about the walk, of course, in case anybody's wondering.
Yes. Okay.
There are shuttles, but that would be too embarrassing, Dale. Come on.
No, it is not. It's not going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm starting to second guess my own abilities here. But we'll talk about that in a minute. I want to talk about something that is very much in the news and has been the past couple of days due to comments from Olivia Chow, the widow of Jack Layton, about the non-disclosure of the type of cancer that ultimately killed Jack Layton. In the beginning, when he said that, as he left public office, as he left public life, I didn't get it. I didn't understand why Jack Layton, whom you and I have known for many, many years, would suddenly draw the line at this curtain of privacy at what kind of cancer, a supposed new cancer, that he's fighting now. And I know you have some pretty specific
I feel very strongly about this. And I have to say that after I made a few comments this morning, some people were upset. They say the family has the right to their privacy, and I really respect the decency that motivates that comment. But please, folks, let's remember this came out after an election where he got a huge mandate based largely on his own personality. So I think we have the right to ask. And the other question is that if it was disclosed, it would be a huge benefit for whatever that terrible disease is.
Whatever that cancer might have been.
Right, in terms of raising awareness, in terms of an appetite to do more research.
So it's
basically for people who knew him and Olivia and the family, it is mystifying as to why, as you say, they draw the line now. Everything else about their lives was very, very public.
Indeed.
And so I know there are people who are mad at me for saying this, but nonetheless.
But don't you have to ask yourself, how does it, and you're being very Jack Layton specific here, are you not? I mean, this is, let's be clear about this. You're certainly not saying that anybody, even another politician necessarily has a duty to disclose their medical condition unless it affects the job that they've been elected or hired to do.
Well, they certainly have some kind of disclosure. I mean, just a few days ago, even Rob Ford, our mayor, when he was in the hospital, he acknowledged people have a right to know what's wrong with him. I mean, if it's some kind of condition that doesn't affect your work, I mean, you don't have to tell everybody
about it. No, but the point is, Jack, at the time of his announcement, was not capable of further work anyway. In fact, he was he was withdrawing. But then the other thing...
But he said he'd be back.
Well, that's what you say, isn't it? Isn't that what you say? But how, you have to ask yourself, do you not? Well, how does it serve the public interest that we know the what kind of cancer killed Jack Layton? How does that serve the public interest?
Well, as I said, it certainly serves the interest of whatever that terrible disease is. And that you can't force that. That's not a question of a right. I mean, you're either motivated to do that or you aren't.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, we have a right to know what happened to him as we gave him that big mandate, as we elected him to the official opposition. I mean, you know, in Quebec, people basically voted for their babysitters because of Jack.
Yeah.
So I think that's the question.
Well, for example, and we don't know, this is conjecture, for example, what if it had been pancreatic cancer, a cancer that gets very little attention, as you well know.
Right, exactly.
Gets very little, relatively speaking, money to find better treatments and better cures should that ever happen. If it had been that, then I guess the public interest would have been served because more light would have been shone upon it.
Well, that's right. But as I said, you can't force that. But, I mean, yeah. Olivia Chow's argument is that disclosing it would discourage people who have that same disease. I just think that's frankly nonsense.
See, I think that raises more questions than need to be raised, if you
right.
know what I mean.
Yeah, that's so, because if you have something bad, yeah. You know you have something bad. As a matter of fact, you know, when people find out, I mean, it's a strange thing, but when people find out that some celebrity or a prominent person has the same mm-hmm. thing that they're dealing with, they feel supported by that, if you
well,
know what I
usually,
mean.
Well, and people who live in the public eye, you included, you yeah. disclose these things. It's the kind of normal thing to do,
well,
I think.
It is. You know? It is. And again... Yeah, I know. Well, I know people are going to be upset by what we're saying here, Dale.
But these are contentious issues, and we don't really, you know, there's no absolute here. These are judgments made by families. They're considered judgments made by other people who may say the person's in a public life, and these things should be known. Who knows?
And you know, I mean, it's also what seems to be happening now. I mean. As you said, we both knew Jack for a long time. He was a scrappy guy. He did a lot of controversial things, but suddenly it's like he's almost becoming, you know.
Yeah.
No, so, but he obviously touched a lot of people's lives.
A lot of people who will be remembering that today on this rather
Absolutely.
Special day. Let's
Absolutely.
Talk about some days coming up and
yes.
The fight against women's cancers. I've got my page up. I hope you noticed. Did
I
you
did.
Notice?
Yes, and you've raised a little bit of money.
Yes, there is a little bit of money. I notice you put the stress on little bit of money, but there will be more, I'm hoping. I'm hoping that all the fans and friends of Gold Hawk Fights Back will, and we'll tell you how to do that in a few minutes.
And they can also make donations to the team pot.
Yeah, to the team pot?
They can make you can make donations to Dale's.
Yeah.
Dale's pot or to the team's pot?
Well, it's Team Zoomer.
Team Zoomer, yeah.
Yeah, you can click, you can, and you can do that. I was taken to task the other day because I was only giving a web address for donations, and there is a number, a very usable, good number, 416-815-9255, and I'll repeat that later on.
Slowly.
For those who don't have, this is just a hint. Later, when you get your pencil, I'll do it more slowly, so that people who don't have a computer, of
Absolutely.
Course, can be involved as well. Let's talk a bit, first off, about where the money is going and how essential that money is to be had.
Okay, it's going to the Walk to End Women's Cancers. So that's where the money is going, and I keep harping on this, that the way that cancer treatment and research is going now, the big buzzword, the big direction is personalized medicine.
Yeah.
And what that means is that they're moving away from categorizing a cancer by a body part and moving towards categorizing cancers or attacking cancers according to whatever the specific genetic mutation that caused it.
Right.
So what that means is that, you know, we already know two people can have breast cancer and it can be like wildly different mm-hmm. kinds of cancer. So that's the direction. So basically, and there are certain mutations that can be common to cancers that attack different parts of the body. So what I'm saying is that it's the Walk to End Women's Cancers. But all of these things, you know, basically end up helping everything because the direction is personalized medicine.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can have a mutation. I do have a mutation that caused pancreatic and breast cancer, but it could also cause prostate cancer or melanoma. And those cases would have more in common with me than with other cases that hit the same body part, if you know what I mean. I hope I'm being clear.
Yeah, no, I think so. So the weekend walk to end women's cancers really applies to all cancers when you think about this, the way cancer research is going these days.
Exactly.
The focus.
And not to mention is that it affects all of us. If it hurts a woman, it hurts her family
and
her friends.
Yeah. Well, I have my sister Sharon died of lung cancer.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had no idea.
Not female-specific. And my mother-in-law, Audrey Foster, died of pancreatic cancer. And those are just in my immediate family. I've been around for quite a while, and I've known quite a few people whose bedsides I have sat at as they died slowly from some form of cancer. And it is an incredible ordeal for friends and most particularly for family. So anything we can do to lessen this is important.
Oh yes, it is. And you know, as I was saying, the experience of the walk is
it's amazing. All right. Why is it so amazing?
Because, first of all, the one thing about it is that it's hard, right? It's hard to raise your fundraising minimum, which is pretty high, $1,250 to walk one day, $2,000 to walk 2 days.
Yeah.
And it's hard to walk 32 kilometers on day one and 30 kilometers on day two. It's it's hard. You have to train. You have to practice. But the outpouring, first of all, the camaraderie among the people who are there, you know, everybody is walking for someone. And just the friends that you make and the camaraderie. And the other incredible, incredible thing is as you walk through the city, neighborhoods come out to cheer you on.
Do they really?
Yes.
Wow.
And they have things for you. There are little children out there. They have tables with lemonade.
Yeah.
And there was one neighborhood with a whole different pile of Italian treats. And kids are
cheering you on. So
you
could gain considerable weight by the time you're at the
end,
right?
Well, it's not only the treats that people bring out, but there's rest stops every 5 kilometers.
Oh,
and there's water, there's medical tents, and food. I mean, literally, you're right, Gabe.
You eat your way from the CNE to downstairs.
You could gain weight going through this exercise. So
I think it's important when you're involved in fundraising for all kinds of great causes, attaching that physical effort to it, which first, I guess, happened with Terry Fox many years ago. But for people to get out and stretch themselves physically in the process of raising the money adds that bit of, satisfaction to it if you're doing it yourself.
And it's not just that. I mean, this is a discussion for another time, but there is more and more research every day about how being fit can prevent cancer, about how being fit can help you recover from cancer, and I am a big believer in that. So it's kind of killing two birds with one stone because you're doing something that is
to keep you fit. Yeah,
good for yourself.
Of course, that's also an important key factor in terms of my charity I'm most involved in, the Alzheimer's Society.
Absolutely,
being the fitter you can be, the more you can stave off those kinds of
absolutely.
Diseases
what's
as well.
Good for your heart is good for your brain.
Okay, now we'll get into some of the specifics of this, and maybe you can give me a tip or two when we come back. And if you'd like to join in our conversation, you do that right now by calling 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
It's 11:49. Libby Znaimer's here, and we're talking about the weekend walk to end women's cancers, which really benefits all of us in terms of our overall fight against cancer. And we've got some calls here. Should we take some calls?
Absolutely.
We've also been talking about Jack Layton.
Yes, we have.
And Judith from Cambridge would like to chime in on that. Judith, what would you like to say?
My feeling is that he was a public figure. And he withdrew.
Yeah.
So my feeling is that he wasn't being honest with us about his illness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that he was lying to us all the time. And as a public figure, he should have been honest, because we would have found out eventually.
The issue really is just about his disclosing what that second cancer was. He certainly disclosed what the first cancer was. It was prostate cancer, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
But what else did he have? What was he lying to us about?
Yeah, or just not saying.
Yeah, or how sick was he during the election?
Right. That's right.
Or was he sick during the election?
Yeah, indeed. Judith, thank you. Thank you very much for that thought. Let's have another Jack Layton thought from Colin, calling from Kitchener. Colin, what do you think?
I think it's none of our business.
Yeah?
And even if we did know, what good is it going to do us? If the family wanted to keep it private, that's their choice.
Okay, Colin, thank you.
If you keep on asking what it was, it's just being gossipy.
Well, I don't know.
Really.
Do you think so?
Oh, it
no.
is.
No.
It's not going to do you a bit of... It's not going to change your life knowing what type of cancer he had.
Well, I think that if
let it... Put it to bed and let it rest.
But, Libby, again, your point was that it might have focused
when
attention on some other kind of cancer.
When people who are prominent come out and shine a light on these things, there is good that comes of that.
Okay.
But, like I said, you can't force that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you can't. Here's Gail calling from Ajax. Gail, what are your thoughts?
Hi, I'm Gail speaking.
Yes, Gail.
I am also with Libby Zimmer. I've had breast cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I'm a survivor.
Yeah.
I'm also a registered nurse of 45 years.
Uh-huh.
Profession, I've been at half a century. And I quite agree with Libby. To survive, we must know to learn how to create the answer to any cancers that we have.
All right. You sound a bit emotional about this, Gail.
I am.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much, Gail.
For your thoughts. Let's see here. Let me hear from Sharon in Mississauga. Sharon, what are your thoughts? Sharon, go ahead, please. Sharon. Nope. Sharon. Here's Warren calling from Scarborough. Warren, what are your thoughts?
Well, I have a thought that maybe Mr. Layton, considering other people that had the same disease, the same type of cancer, and there was a very minimal survival rate, may not have wanted to take hope away from these people or their families by disclosing what he had.
That's what they say, but I mean, I had a cancer with the lowest survival rate, and do you think people don't know when they have this? Do you think that that's not the first thing they find out about it? I mean,
the survivability.
Your hope comes from somewhere else, and you always hope that whatever the ridiculous number is, you'll be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is that there's no way that if you have something like that, you're not aware of what the odds are.
But maybe I think some people might even withhold it from family members, you know, just to spare them the agony.
Oh, that's possible.
You know, it's just
then you could debate how much that spares somebody the agony or simply prolongs it.
Yeah, well, that's true too.
Yeah. Warren, thank you very much.
Thanks.
For your call.
Thank you.
Here is here's Sharon from Mississauga. Sharon, what are your thoughts?
Well, hi. My thoughts are that it leaves it open to a lot of speculation, like to die within a month of the second diagnosis. Like, he's been meeting with doctors regularly, and it makes everyone wonder, like, how long prior to that did he actually get diagnosed, and then he felt maybe he could beat it or beat the odds.
So it
leaves a lot of speculation as to what he really had prior to him resigning.
Thanks very much for that, Sharon. Here is Lucy calling from Milton. Lucy, what would you like to add to our conversation today?
I guess it's basically a question. I had seen a program on CTV with regard to the cancer drug DCA. And right now my father has terminal cancer, and it was very hard to get this drug because it is an experimental drug. But at this point you're going to try anything, because what the Cancer Society has to offer is basically always the same thing. It's chemo and radiation. And there's nothing to counterbalance the damage that does to the body. And I find that such a destructive and not a very productive way of handling cancer. And with all the years and research that has been put into it and the monies, that they have nothing better to offer.
Well, they do in some cases, because when they have what's called a targeted therapy, it's not chemo is like a carpet bomb. So it hits the cancer and it hits everything else, and that's why people get sick, because it destroys normal cells as well. When you have a targeted therapy, and they're looking for targeted therapies for, you know, a lot more cancers than they have them for now, it targets the cancer and leaves everything else alone. And that's obviously the gold standard and what people really want. But you're right. What we have at the moment is mostly chemo and radiation, and they are harmful as well as beneficial.
So why will not the Cancer Society put the money into further developing that drug DCA when there has been so many reported success rates on people that are willing to take it, but they have tested it on animals and how the tumors have reduced down to like 70%.
I don't know anything about DCA.
We're not experts in that field, Lucy.
Talking about the Cancer Society, gives out a certain number of grants. But when drugs are tested, I mean, they're not the only authority that funds trials.
Yeah.
So there are all these scientific, ways to get a drug trial going. And I really don't know anything about DCA,
Lucy,
though.
Thank you very much for
I just wanted to say one more thing. It's noteworthy enough to get on television.
Well, Lucy, I'm sorry. That doesn't mean much to me, because lots of stuff gets on television and gets on radio that doesn't necessarily wind up being noteworthy. But I understand Lucy's frustration.
Absolutely.
And I know you do too, when you think, well, there are two ways to go here, and they're the standard treatments for cancer, and you know that in many cases, and maybe Lucy knows in the case of her dad, they're not going to be successful. It's a pretty tough time, you know?
Yep.
All right, let's let's hear from Sonny on the line. Sonny, what do you think of this?
Yeah, my thoughts are, I don't want to disagree with Libby, but
if you want. It's okay.
No. I have a problem, because irrespective of what Jack Layton was, how cavalier in his attitude or open he was in his attitude, there is something that we as a society should understand. And that is respect. If that is the wishes of the individual and his family, then we should respect that, no matter how we feel about it, because it's not us that is going through this crisis.
Sonny, thank you very much for that. One last call from Angie, calling from Orillia. Angie, what are your thoughts?
First of all, I agree with your former caller. It's none of our business.
Okay.
I am a survivor of 36 years.
Congratulations.
I had no chemo. I had no radiation. My husband had cancer the year before. He had radiation, and he had nothing but trouble. So my heart is beating right now. I'm so angry to think that anybody would want to take this man's history or what he died of and put it for everybody to hear. It is absolutely their business.
All right, Angie, thank you very much for that. People feel very strongly about this.
One way or the other. Yeah.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Now, let's continue with Goldhawk Fights Back with Dale Goldhawk on AM 740.
And I'm here in my little studio. Libby Znaimer is still here. We are actually going to talk about the weekend walk. It's on the 8th and 9th
of September. Saturday and Sunday.
Okay. And literally thousands of people will be involved in this all told.
Well, last year there were something close to 4,500 people. So imagine 4,500 people walking through the streets of Toronto. It's like an army. And some of them we're getting team T-shirts, which are, you know, they're reasonably sedate, but some people wear the wildest costumes, wildest costumes that are fun, all kinds of decorated bras and pink things. And
I won't be wearing a decorated bra in case you
I'm
were,
so disappointed, Dale. I was really looking forward to that.
Now, do walkers wear, you wouldn't wear a knapsack or anything because you don't need anything, right?
No, you should, you have to carry a few little things.
Well, I'd have to carry my cell phone so I can wind everybody about how my feet hurt or something.
Okay,
like
well,
that.
What I would carry,
or a little,
you carry
a
your
little,
fatty pack. I have fatty little, packs in the office.
Oh, I have one I use when I bike, so I just used a little.
I have one from the walk, but you want to carry an extra pair of socks. I carried like a little fold up poncho in case it rained.
Uh-huh.
It depends on the forecast. You can get water from one rest stop to the next.
There are rest stops all along the way.
But you might want to carry it.
I don't want to have to carry anything. It'll be enough of a chore just carrying me, won't
exactly,
it?
Exactly.
So.
But
now, what about this
things.
Vaseline thing? And we've been kicking this around for days now, that you put Vaseline on your feet.
I think I did it once and it was fine. I've just come from the chiropractor. And
all right.
He said that if I hadn't had any problems with blisters in the past, I shouldn't. The other thing you should do, you have to purchase, they have a special kind of running socks that are made of two layers so that you sweat into one layer and that layer doesn't touch the shoe. So I highly recommend
those. Is that
the
same as a low-friction sock, or is that a different thing?
I think it's different. It's just make sure it has two layers.
Yeah, okay.
It's a different, I guess, a different way of, I'm not expert in this stuff, but I can tell you.
Well, you know what's worked in the past.
For me, I have never had a blister. Other people get blisters. Make sure your shoes are broken in. You don't want to be wearing new shoes.
Yeah.
And, it's probably a good idea to change your socks. I don't think I actually ever did during the day because I wasn't
bothered. I
can't
imagine I would change my socks. I mean, the longest I've walked that I know of.
that you know of?
Well, you know,
you wouldn't know
that
it.
I can recall is Jill and I walked about 20 kilometers from Salisbury, right by the cathedral, through the fields and over the hills and over the dales to Stonehenge.
Wow.
And that was 20 kilometers one way. We took a cab back, of course.
Good idea.
And it didn't, at the time, we didn't, the book said 20. We thought, well, okay, we can do this. It wasn't really that that bad. Now, 32 is a bit more than that.
It's a bit more than that, And there are some hills.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all, straight. You're going up.
All right,
to
now,
down.
If somebody wants to support this effort,
yes.
Let's talk a bit about that.
So
how do you do that?
How do you do that? You go to our website, and on the homepage, towards the bottom, you scroll down a little bit, there's a button on the website that says, click here to donate to Team Zoomer.
Right.
And that donation will go to the team communal pot.
The team communal pot.
Right.
Is that the technical term for it?
It must be.
Team communal pot.
And of course,
pot.
As you said, if people want to support you, Dale, then they have to go to the team list.
You can go to participant. Or, I tried this. You can click donate.
Right.
And then it'll say participant search. You can search for a participant.
Right.
So they could find you either by team Zoomer,
right.
or by name, Libby Znaimer, Dale Goldhawk,
but if
or
you
whomever.
Just, if you just donate to the link where you get to from that link, that will go into the communal fundraising.
Yeah, it matters not,
pot.
Right, really. It just matters that the money is raised and it goes to the...
and we appreciate it very much.
Yeah.
Very much.
Well, it's a way to participate in the whole function of raising this important money, let other people sweat it out on the sidewalks and just pop a little money into the pot, and that would be appreciated. I have also, I will mention the phone number.
Yes.
Remember I mentioned it earlier?
Absolutely.
That was your cue to run and get a pen or a pencil, and here's the number to call if you'd like to make that donation. At any time, you can call this number, 416-815-9255. And again, the website, if you go, you can also go to, as well as clicking on our website, you can go to endcancer.ca.
Right, but then you'll have a few more steps to find Team
Zoomer. You have more
Zoomer.
Steps to, why not do it in the short, shortcut
method?
Right,
and if you make that donation online, just to let people know, you get an instant tax receipt. It comes back in your email right away, which is very convenient.
It's becoming the way to contribute to charities. It's become, I think, fairly, because it's so easy to do, you get the receipt right away, and there's none of this mailing of checks as we did in the old days.
Right, but if you want to mail a check, call the number.
But you can still do that. You can still call the number and mail a check. Just like in the old days.
Right. Absolutely. Like the old days.
Well, you know, a few years ago. Are there more and more people who get involved in this every year? Do you get the sense that more and more people are hitting the road and doing this?
Yes. And it's different people because most people who walk are walking for someone.
Yeah.
And either it's they're part of a team from work or friends, or they, you know, unfortunately, every year there we know more and more people who are stricken with cancer.
Well, I'll be walking for my sister Sharon and for my mother-in-law Audrey, and when you think back over the years of your life, Libby, you can think of a lot of people
absolutely who
died from cancer, and if there's ways to slow that down a bit or defeat cancer someday, do you think it can be defeated someday? Will somebody find those magic keys
bullet
that
cure?
Will? Yeah, it won't be one bullet. It'll be several. I'm thinking, but find some key to unlocking the mysteries of cancer?
Well, I think they'll find many keys. I do not believe that there is a cure for cancer, but there are a lot of people who are more expert than me who do. So,
fact, it might be.
Right.
That way.
But in the meantime, they're finding many keys, and the keys are the mutations that cause cancer that can be targeted with drugs. There's maybe also viruses, and they also talk about cancer stem cells, which are the cells that really make the cancer grow. So there are all kinds of different avenues that people are working on.
Yeah.
So we'll see. It's very exciting, and the research is very exciting. And, also hats off to the people who make this their life's work.
Libby, thanks very much
for
being here. And we'll see you soon, team member A.
See you soon. Okay. Looking forward to it.
Libby Znaimer, she's the Vice President of News and Information here at Zoomer Radio.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.